We now return to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and as we said in the last class while we were gathered together, this time we're entering into a temperance lesson. Now, this was a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of September the 19th, 1926. And the lesson text is in Leviticus chapter 26. But we're going to go straight to the devotional reading before we get to the lesson text. And you may want to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. And I will read that to you at this time. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath complaining? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go seek out mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkleth in the cup, when it goeth down smoothly. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange things, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not hurt. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I awake, I will seek it yet again. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And as we begin this temperance lesson, we have some helps and hints for the teacher. On the first day of the month of the second year after the children of Israel left Egypt, Moses set up the tabernacle, placing everything in order as Jehovah commanded him, Exodus 40 and verse 17. As learned in the preceding lesson, when Moses finished this work, God covered the tabernacle with a cloud and filled it with His glory. So long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, the children of Israel remained in camp. But when the cloud was taken up, they pursued their journey, camping only when the cloud stopped. Throughout all their journeys, the cloud was upon the tabernacle by day and the pillar of fire by night. We read about this in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. And let me read that passage to you. It's the very last verses in the book of Exodus. It says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward throughout all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Jehovah was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Returning to Elam's notes, we read, "After the tabernacle had been set up, the children of Israel remained in the plain before Mount Sinai for 1 month and 20 days. And we read in Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, "And it came to pass in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, that the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel set forward according to their journeys, out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud abode in the wilderness of Paran. All that is recorded, from Exodus chapter 19:1 to Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, including, of course, all of the book of Leviticus, occurred at Mount Sinai. This lesson is from the book of Leviticus. The name Leviticus is taken from Levi, the priestly tribe, because this book gives directions concerning the duties of priests, the offerings to be made, and the ceremonies to be performed. It is simply a continuation of the directions given in the last chapters of Exodus. Previous to the erection of the tabernacle, God had given no particular directions concerning the manner of offering of different kinds of sacrifices. But as soon as this divine structure was established and consecrated, Jehovah took it as his dwelling place and described the rites and ceremonies which he would have observed in his worship, that his people might know what was best pleasing in his sight, and that, when thus worshiping him, they might have confidence that they pleased him, everything being done according to his directions. A conscious acting according to the will of God gives strong confidence to an upright mind. In Exodus 28 and 29, God describes the priestly garments and gives directions as to how Aaron and his sons were to be hallowed or consecrated. And in Exodus chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, he told Moses to appoint them. And verse 16 says, Moses did according to all that Jehovah commanded him. And Leviticus 8 relates when Moses did this. In Leviticus 9, Aaron, on the eighth day, or after the day of his consecration, offered for himself a sin offering and a burnt offering, and for the people an offering, a sin offering, a burnt offering, a peace offering, and a meal offering. And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of Jehovah appeared unto all the people. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Leviticus 9, verses 22 through 24. God often answers by fire from heaven. God answered David by fire upon the altar at the threshing floor of Oran in 1 Chronicles 21. When Solomon dedicated the temple, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the glory of Jehovah filled the house, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1. God answered Gideon by fire in Judges 6:21, and also Elijah in 1 Kings 18:38. But then God sent forth fire from heaven and destroyed Nadab and Abihu, because in disobedience they offered strange fire before him. Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 11. I think it would be profitable to go back and read that account in the book of Leviticus. I'm reading in Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer, and put fire therein, and laid incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth a fire from before Jehovah, and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that Jehovah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people will I be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Eliphaz, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Draw near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they drew near and carried them and their coast out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, Let not the hair of your heads go loose, neither rend your clothes, that ye die not. And he be not wroth with all the congregation. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, beware the burning which Jehovah hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tent of meeting, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of Jehovah is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And Jehovah spake unto Aaron, saying, Drink no wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tent of meeting, that ye die not. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Jehovah hath spoken unto them by Moses. That's the account of Nadab and Abihu. Let's return to Elam's notes. We're under a subheading here called Temperance. And since this is a temperance lesson, we should learn something from the case of Nadab and Abihu. From God's command in this connection to Aaron and his sons not to drink wine nor strong drink when they went to the tabernacle, it seems that Nadab and Abihu were drunk when they offered the strange fire. The reason which God gives for this prohibition on such occasions confirms this supposition. One, that ye die not. And two, that ye may make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And three, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Jehovah hath spoken unto them by Moses. Nadab and Abihu made no distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean, and strong drink may have been behind this sin. Strong drink is any intoxicating liquor. It beclouds the mind, stupefies the brain, and unfits one for duty to God and men. The priest must be sober and clear-headed so they could teach the people and worship God acceptably. Christians are all priests and teachers and worshipers. They are the light of the world. What kind of teacher and light is a wine-loving, whiskey-drinking priest or a professed Christian? Strong drink unfits one for any good work or service, or even daily labor. It destroys opportunities of every kind. It weakens and finally destroys all his spiritual nature and transforms him into a brute. It destroys his physical life and sends his soul to hell. It brings distress and immeasurable sorrow upon innocent women, helpless children, and aged parents. Untold suffering comes upon the innocent because of the sins of the guilty. The cost, misery, woe, and perdition of strong drink are simply immeasurable, indescribable, and inconceivable. Now we're going to look at our text, and we're going to talk about walking in God's statutes. But we read in Numbers chapter 26, verses 3 through 5, If you walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, then I will give your rains in their season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield your fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. That is where we're going to begin in our next class.